Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back to the Traveling Culturati, folks. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Don't forget to check out the website, travelingculturati.com. Also, join the travel club and check out the blog. Well, you know what time it is. It's time for the Culture Report. And this week, we're heading to one of my favorite destinations, Italy. And we're exploring Italy's food culture. So today, we're eating our way through a destination. On the phone with me is Gina Vinaccia, who is the public relations manager in Chicago for the Italian National Tourist Board, and she's going to help us out. Hi, Gina, and welcome to the Traveling Culturati.
Thank you for having me.
Italy is really one of my favorite destinations, and it's probably one of my favorite food groups. I'm going to call it a food group. What are some of the staples throughout Italy? What are some of those food staples, those items that you'll find everywhere?
I guess I'd start with the first thing that comes to mind is probably actually coffee. Everywhere you go, you're going to find it, even in the most remote out-of-the-way places. You'll always be able to get a cappuccino or an espresso. Once I remember taking a hike on the top of a mountain, and I got to the top of the mountain, and believe it or not, there was a lady in a small shack-like structure selling coffee. So coffee is actually what comes to mind first for me. Secondly, of course, pasta. In the whole of Italy, most meals start with pasta as their primo, their first course. Sometimes soup or risotto is served instead, but commonly pasta is most often the first dish of choice in Italy. It's bread. Bread's also a staple, of course, and it must be a must on any Italian table, usually a baguette. Often Italian kids will eat it for breakfast or as a snack with jam or Nutella. And olive oil, of course, red wine vinegar, also staples. Olive oil is used on salads and also on pasta, vegetables, and often on soups like minestrone. Well, Italians will just pour a little bit on top for a little extra flavor. Prosciutto for an appetizer, easily found everywhere. And, of course, wine, red and white. Most lunch and dinner tables have a good local wine on it. It's served with most meals. It's pretty well known and is quite definitely very common. So I'd say coffee, pasta, bread, prosciutto, olive oil, red and wine vinegar, and wine are the main food and beverage staples in Italy. But also things like garlic, leeks, and onions are also common. And, of course, cheese.
Yeah.
This type may vary greatly depending on which region they're in. And tomatoes. How could I forget about tomatoes? So those would be the ones that come to mind.
Oh, they sound a lot like my staples. Now, what are some of the different regional styles and ingredients?
Every region has their own traditional specialty dish. For example, in Val d'Aosta, you'll find polenta, campagna, mozzarella di bufala, pesto, that rich and wonderful sauce made of basil, pine nuts, and olive oil that's become so popular in the States. You'll find that in Liguria and so on. In fact, you'll not see a lot of what is considered refined, tasty pasta outside of Liguria. Well, you may find it, but I can pretty much guarantee you that it's not going to be as good as the pesto that you'll find inside of Liguria. The cooks of Liguria will make it to their best. They have the local sourced ingredients there, and the dish comes out the way it's meant to be.
Well, my husband loves pesto because he's not a big fan of tomatoes.
Yeah. So. And pesto is fun because you can put it on anything. And you can grow your basil in your backyard. It's simple. Just add some pine nuts and some olive oil to it, and you're set. You're good to go.
And it
is
delicious.
You can freeze the basil. You can do all kinds of things and come back to it and make it in the wintertime if you want.
Yeah, well, it is delicious. Now, while talking about pesto, let's talk about one of those things that is really part of an Italian cuisine, and that's the sauce. What are they and where are they found?
I would, from one region to the other, would be what pretty much dictates the type of sauce that they're going to have. In Liguria, Venice, Sicily, Sardinia, and Campania, for example, you'd find seafood. It's more likely because they're right on the ocean. And in Umbria, they have wild boars, and they do a lot of sauces made from wild boar. In an inland region like Emilia-Romagna, it's most known for its beautiful and friendly college town of Bologna, I might add. The Bolognese sauce is delicious. Kettles are plenty in that area, and sauces made with beef are very common. I recently heard from a friend of mine who's from Verona that actually horse meat is common, and they use it often in their sauces. They also serve it as a fillet, too. So a few other unique sauces worth mentioning, I would say. Black squid in Venice, black sea urchin in Sicily, pecorino pastas from Sardinia, Campania, the gnocchi alla sorrentina, which is a pasta made with a delicious and creamy mozzarella di bufala, which is commonly found in the region.
So, I'm drooling here. And I'm glad you're saying that, because it goes beyond the typical white wine sauce or cream-based sauce.
Yes.
Or tomato sauce. So you're talking about so many different wonderful sauces and the many uses of them as well. I want to talk about menu, because when you go to an Italian restaurant, it looks a little different than an American restaurant when you're talking about courses.
Well, one thing is Italians definitely know how to take their time when they eat and really appreciate their meals. But yeah, I would say, you mean in terms of the way the foods are served?
Oh, right. For example, we have appetizer, entree, dessert, or salads, but you see different categories on an Italian menu, like primi or secondi.
Okay.
What does that mean, and how should we order?
Traditionally, Italians will start with the antipasto. That's commonly things like prosciutto and melone, or olives, peperoncini are pretty common, mushrooms, those types of things. Then they'll go on to their primo, their first course, which is usually a pasta or a risotto. And then second course, their secondo, which is usually a meat or a fish dish. Then after that, they usually have their salad, which is not the way we eat here. They have it at the end. I guess they think it helps them digest somehow. And then they'll always finish that up with usually a dessert, if not, for sure, an espresso. And that as well was in terms just to finish the meal and help digest the food.
I would say that probably is one of the biggest dining differences and experiences that I had in Italy, very different from here in the United States, where when you go to a restaurant, you're not rushed. It is a time to sit and relax and enjoy your meal. You're not rushed at all. You have to actually flag down the server to get your bill, because they would never just sit it on your table without you asking for it. Now, what about agritourism or what we call farm-to-table experiences?
Okay. Well, agritourism is it's a pretty new way of traveling. It seems to have become very popular lately. I get many calls from prospective travelers who are super curious about agriturismo. I think people just want a vacation, hoping to experience the lifestyle of vacationing on an Italian farm. They get to work sometimes with the locals on the farms, and they get to experience what that type of lifestyle, would be. And it's nice to see where their foods are actually sourced from and how they're grown and the whole experience of living on the farm and working on the farm. So it's just become more of a recent phenomena that people are traveling and doing that type of vacation instead of the traditional Rome, Florence, Venice type vacations. They're doing more of these countryside vacations.
Yeah, and I think we have a better respect and understanding of food when we see the source of the food. So I think that's very, very important. And I had a bit of an experience going to a cheese farm, and they produced pecorino, which I love. Such a wonderful cheese.
One of my favorites, I should say.
One of mine, too. And they would give us a piece of it. It's really, really sharp. Mm-hmm. And they would put a drop or two of a very thick balsamic. And that is just wonderful. Now, you can't talk about food without talking about wine and enogastronomy. So let's talk about wine.
No doubt enjoying the meal and appreciating the food and wine has always been a common practice for Italians. The average Italian will have an appreciation for both, and they'll be more familiar as well and also opinionated. both with the quality of the ingredient as well as the cooking technique used to prepare any dish. As more Americans are gaining an appreciation for both food and wine and gastronomy, it has now entered the tourist market with trips and tours that strictly focus, seem to be focusing on that particular subject.
There's a wide variety of Italian wines. Do the wine regions vary or are they centrally located?
Tuscany may be the region that most people think of when they think of wine in Italy. However, you'll find fantastic wines all over Italy. In fact, Piemonte, they tend to sell the more refined wines or produce the more refined wines. Barbarellos and Barbarescos are the wines that I'm referring to. Throughout the whole of Italy, actually, you can find wine in pretty much every region.
So whether your taste is red or white or sparkling, and then, of course, the varieties within, whether you want something light or sweet or bold, you have all of those varieties there.
For sure.
Now, you also have a worldwide event that's coming up this fall celebrating Italian cuisine. Tell us about that.
In the month of November, the Settimana della Cucina, which is translated to the Week of the Italian Cuisine, Italiana nel Mondo, is taking place all around the world. It's in celebration of the Italian. It'll take place in November in 2016. And we're hoping to tie the Italian tourism with the Italian Cultural Institute and some other Italian entities to celebrate and showcase Italian food.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I promise you, I'm going to try to find an experience different Italian cuisines, ones that I don't typically have. I really want to explore those a little bit more. And that sounds like a great time to do that because you may get more variety and maybe some special menu items on the participating restaurants.
Oh, definitely will. Treat.
How do we get more information and ideas on Italy and Italian cuisine?
Our website is ItalianTourism.com, and also the Cultural Institute of Chicago. They're also hosting a series of events, a documentary. I know it's called When Italy Ate in Black and White. And they're also doing a lecture based on the slow food movement.
Well, great. Gina, thank you so much. And thanks for making me hungry.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for the show today. But I'll be back next week. And remember, wherever you go, go with all your heart. Confucius. To find out more about the Traveling Culturati, visit the website at travelingculturati.com. Follow and share with me on social media and join the Travel Club. Special thanks to studio producer Brittany Riddle, video producer Howard Little, executive producer Gene Harley, and to you, thanks for tuning in. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati exclusively on HUR Voices.
You've been listening to the Traveling Culturati.
Hi, this is the Traveling Culturati host and travel pro, Javon Harley. The 2016 WHUR World Tour takes us to Japan, a country steeped in tradition and culture, from the ultra-modern bullet trains to the incomparable shopping in Tokyo. Culturati will love it. This November 3rd through the 12th, we'll visit Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka. We'll stay in deluxe five-star hotel accommodations and enjoy excellent tours and cuisine. Sponsored by the Japan National Tourism Organization, United Airlines, and WHUR, the WHUR World Tour Japan. Visit advantage-intl.com for details. Javon Harley here, your travel pro and host of Traveling Culturati, with the top reasons to visit Ghana: history, friendly people, Ghanaian hospitality, and unsurpassed natural beauty. Ghana has it all. But the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me and Advantage International. The wait is over. The dates are set. Join us in Ghana September 8th through the 16th. We'll start in the capital city of Accra and visit the W. W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Pan-African Culture. We'll follow the history of the slave trade and visit the infamous forts, castles, and slave dungeons on the Elmina and Cape Coasts, September 8th through the 16th. Fly South African Airways, Africa's most awarded airline, nonstop from Washington, D.C., and stay in deluxe accommodations. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete details. That's advantage-intl.com. See you on the plane.